Perhaps they are changeable. Perhaps not. But the point is that no one divides the world into backers and frienders or grants such categories any social significance. According to the social constructionists, the common categories of sexual orientation, gay, straight, bisexual, used to be that way too. Thus far I've been describing social constructionism as a view about identity, not ideology. There's another, more controversial version, however. It's the one that's easily caricatured as society makes people gay, which of course made it a perfect foil in the 1990s for equally simplistic gay genes talk. But there's a more plausible rendering, and it goes something like this: human sexual desires don't appear fully formed. Our early intimations of them are often amorphous and inarticulate. And social environment, especially during puberty, can shape and change them, not only providing pathways for expression but also refining them in the process. That is a view about ideology, or at least, about one significant element of a full ideological picture. Whether this view is correct is an empirical question, and one that's difficult to test. One way would be to drop genetically identical humans into various cultures and historical periods, and see how their specific desires turn out. Obviously, this is not feasible. But its account of desire shaping is at least plausible. It certainly coheres with my own experience. When I was 8 or 9, I used to get a funny, animated feeling watching the boy next door mow the lawn. Did I sexually desire him? Not really, no. I certainly didn't desire to have sex with him or even to kiss him, I just felt a kind of amorphous excitement in his presence. It wasn't until much later that I could retroactively characterize that excitement as a gay feeling and the person experiencing it, me, as a gay person. Now when I'm in the presence of a handsome guy, my desires are much more specific. What the ideological social constructionists are saying is that the experiences I had in the interim helped to form those desires. They did not really give me the terminology for them, although that fact is important too. They shape their contours. Which begins to explain what's worrying right-wing folks like Hannon, to the point where some of them are desperately grasping at left-wing academic theory. Today more than ever, young people see gay life and gay sex and gay relationships as possible options. Gay rights advocates, myself included, have worked hard to ensure this, from the It Gets Better project to the marriage equality movement to college football star Michael Sam's coming out. What we advocates want is for these young people to have plausible pathways for a healthy, fulfilling adult gay life. We want them to know that they are not alone. The problem is that what we want is precisely what social conservatives fear. To put the point simply, they are worried that we're making their kids gay. Making them gay, how? Not in the obviously silly sense that we're causing otherwise straight kids to switch teams. After all, the usual response to a gay person is not, no fair. How come he gets to be gay? But rather in the sense that the boy who gets that funny feeling around the boy next door will find pathways that shape that feeling into something more specific. He'll begin to see gay life and gay sex and gay relationships as live options. He'll grow up to be an active homosexual. Under the old regime, things might have been different. Keep in mind that the sense category regime Hannon longs for is over 100 years gone, although vestiges of it linger, especially in certain cultures. Under the old regime, that boy might have grown up to marry a woman, for example, and had a not passionate but still adequate marriage.